Hello, everyone. Welcome to Racism Unfiltered with Letty, Theo, Hannah, and Cindy. And unfortunately, she's not with us today. But anyway, this is a safe place where we will talk about the most challenging issues caused by racism. So all of us have been in Molina, Malaga for the past week, learning, educating ourselves about racism as a part of the project called Choosing Anti-Racism, the Radical Reorientation of Our Consciousness, hosted by IFM. So, a short definition of racism is discrimination and prejudice towards people based on their race or ethnicity. So, we also learned about the forms of racism, and they are interpersonal, institutional, systemic, and structural. So we'll continue with some personal examples and stories.
Okay, yeah. So firstly, a little bit of like a background check. I'm Hannah. I'm half Slovene, half Ethiopian. I currently live in Slovenia and I'm 18 years old.
Hi, I'm Teo. My mom's French, so I'm 50% French, and my dad's British Indian. But both my grandparents and my dad's side are Indian, so technically I'm 50% Indian. Just with an extra added nationality British. I used to live in London, but now I live in France and I'm 17 years old.
So yeah, we're gonna be like debating about racism in the countries that we live. We're gonna talk about our experience. And as we have been learning, we actually realized how much deeper than just like interpersonal racism in general actually is. Natalia has told us that there are different types of racism, and not many people realize that there are like the different types, you know, the structural. So we're gonna go over this part.
So the different types of racism are interpersonal, institutional, systemic, and structural. So what is interpersonal racism? Interpersonal racism is treating others with discriminatory behavior that ranges from microaggressions to physical violence. An example of this is a person using slurs or showing aggression towards people of color, mistreating others based on their skin color. Our next term is institutional racism. So what is institutional racism? Institutional racism is our policies or behaviors within an organization intended to discriminate against people of color. An example of this is a hiring manager disqualifies candidates based on their names, citing a cultural fit that's actually discriminatory. Next, we have systemic racism. Systemic racism is perpetuated discrimination within a system that was founded on racist principles or practices. An example of this is a social work department lacks diversity among staff and students, despite training them to serve as communities of color. Our final term is structural racism, which is the cultural values in society are so ingrained in daily life that they are seen as the way things are. An example of this is a judge gives a lengthier sentence to a person of color than a white person with the same charges. These are the four types of racism.
Yeah, and it's very like sad that like how deeply rooted racism actually is. So let's talk about the roots, because not many people like realize how deeply rooted racism is in our system. So how did like this system even originate? But where did it come from?
So many experts believe that the origins of racist beliefs were founded upon greed and self-interest almost 400 years ago on the transatlantic slave trade. It was so that slavery was a cheap option and people working for money, so a fair price. And it was a way to get more money.
The interesting thing to me is that like not many people realize in Europe that they're even being like racist. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like they believe in the stereotypes. They're just saying the slurs. They don't think anything is wrong with it. Like especially like one of my friends told us that in Serbia, for example, they're learning that black people have like lower intelligence or like lower IQ, and it's just like so sad that, you know, it's like this common. Do you like want to share any experiences maybe?
So I have a few examples of interpersonal racism. So when I've lived in England and London 15 years and haven't received any racist comments, and then I moved to France 3 years ago and I had a few racist experiences. So it's things from shunt up Indian boy all the way to go back to a country, you're dirty immigrant, so your brain just hurt part of it.
But do you think, like, the racism is, like, still in the UK, even though you did?
Yeah, there's definitely still racism in the UK. Just in London, because it's so multicultural, diverse, people from so many different backgrounds, religions, cultures. You grow up and you see so many different cultures and you grow up more open-minded, I think. So when you grow up in that environment, you're less likely to be racist because you can be friends with them.
Oh, right, because you live in, like, mostly, like, the village. In France.
I live in the middle of nowhere in France. But even in cities, I've lived a few months in cities and they're still racist. Yeah, it's still racist.
Yeah, in Slovenia, for example, we have like 0.0, like 1% of like black people or like people from other countries. So it's very like, racism, it's not very common because of that. But still, I have like experienced ugly looks most of the time, you know, like kind of the passive racism. One example was when me and my father were just like going like down the street to a shop and like one of the like Slovenian old ladies came to us and she was just like, go back to your own country or something like that. And then we were just like very confused because, you know, it's still my country. Like I was born there. And she was just like, we don't need people like you here. And we were just like, okay, well, the only thing you can do is like ignore them because you're not gonna change their minds, you know. And other thing is, I have a friend and she's an actress, and she's black. She's from Cameroon, and she's trying like, you know, to pursue her career, whatever. And it's just so interesting to see because it's so much harder for her to get a job, and even when she gets a job, it's just like, I don't know, she gets the part of a cleaning lady or an immigrant or like that African lady who doesn't know how to speak Slovene. She doesn't get like the main roles, and she never really like, you know, pursued her career or whatever because she was like always given such, you know, little roles. Yeah, and it's so sad. And also like one thing that happened was when I was driving my bike and this man just shouted at me like, you're such a monkey. I was just like, oh wow. And also like sort of like passive racism that we're experiencing that I mentioned before, just like for example the looks,
or just for example when you go into a shop and then I'm going to shop with friends and so they happen to be white and I'm the only person of color, they'll just check my bag at the end, they won't check any of their bags. And that's when happens, it's like it hurts a bit. You're like, why are they checking my bag and not theirs? Yeah.
Did your friends like say anything?
No.
Yeah, because I think that's like the hardest part when you see like your friends not like standing up for you when you can't.
They were like wondering why they was being searched. They were surprised.
Yeah, but they could still like, you know, say something.
They probably should have said, why are you not checking the arm?
Yeah. And it's so sad because like it makes you so uncomfortable. And I think when people just look at you, they just made up in their own minds like decision of what kind of person you are. Yeah, who you are.
Not even knowing who you are.
Yeah.
They already know who you are. Or they know.
Yeah, especially in high school, they always like kind of mask racism through jokes.
Yeah.
Have you like ever experienced that?
Yeah, definitely. It's not because you say something racist through a joke that it's suddenly acceptable. No, it's definitely not acceptable. And every single racist comment, racist joke, everything, it lowers your self-esteem, your confidence, your belief in yourself. So it just totally damages who you are.
Or do you know that one like, oh, I'm not racist, I have a black friend, or I have an Indian friend. And it just like hurts so much because what if you are that exception? Well, what if you are that friend that your friends are making like, you know, this comment on? Yeah, it's so sad. And it's like, it shapes you as a person. How do you feel like, do you think you would feel different about yourself if you were white growing up in like France or UK?
Oh, if I was, yeah, definitely.
I always wanted to be white because like everyone around me was white. Like every single movie that I saw, like there were white characters. Like there was this like idea of a perfect you know, woman or a perfect girl, and it was always like white with like light hair, with like light eyes. So yeah, it's always been hard. And I think if I grew up white, I would just have like much more confidence in myself.
Yeah, definitely.
Like I'd always faking it. It's there, but I'm like faking it most of the time, because like fake it till you make it. What do you think?
Yeah, definitely. If I had been white, I would definitely have had much, much, much more confidence at school in France. And not that I was fine not being white, like it's normal. But in France, yeah, I would have had a different life.
It's interesting that when people like hear the racism word, they just like think, oh yeah, that's happening in the USA. It's just there because of like slavery and colonization, but it's...
And people also think that in our world today that racism doesn't exist, but it definitely does.
Exactly. Okay, so it's very interesting that when people hear the word racism or just like about racism, they just assume that it's happening in the US because of the colonization and everything.
Yeah, but it's actually happening all around the world.
Yeah. And now we have a special guest here, Maruf, and he's gonna tell you a little bit about where he comes from, who he is, and we're gonna hear a little about his story. Okay, so Maruf, can you introduce yourself?
Hello, hi, ma'am.
Thank you for welcoming me.
I am Maruf. I am Palestinian from Israel. Do I need to learn my age?
It's 5 years.
I would like to share you some stories about my life and the country I come from.
Okay, so can you tell us, can you explain to us what is happening in your country? Can you give us like some historical background? Like what has been happening, what is happening now? I know it's a complex thing, what's happening in your country, but can you explain what is happening right now for the listeners to like understand?
Sure. I'm happy to share you this information. Let's go back to 1948 when the world could recognize about Israel. The topic is like that. They come, they take the land from the Arab people, and in the Jewish history, it's a holy land for them. So they think that it's allowed to take the land, but in the other side, the Arab people, they know it's our land. We born here. We born here, so it's our land. I will not talk from 48 until now. I can share you some story about me personal that happened today and that we live every day in Israel. I wouldn't.
So it's a conflict between the Jews and the Arabs.
It's conflict between Jewish and Arab and Arab and the government.
Oh, okay. So it's a complex, yeah.
It's complex.
But you have experienced a lot of inequality there, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Can you tell us a bit about your experience?
About my experience? Yes, sure. We as Arab in Israel face racism differently. But I will talk about
A person. Yes, okay.
So one day I just went to visit Jerusalem, and every Muslim guy or every Muslim person, it's a guy or girl, not matter, visit Jerusalem, he must go to Aqsa Mosque. So in the when you go to the Aqsa Mosque in the old city, you would meet a checkpoint, and maybe more than one checkpoint, and they ask about identity. When they see that my name is Maruf, I am Arab going to the mosque, they just stop me beside and start to ask me a few questions. Where are you from? What are you doing here? By the way, Jerusalem in the center of the country. I live in the north, so it's 2 hours far away from me. So they just ask, what are you doing here? Because the Aqsa Mosque is a holy place for Muslim, and the Jewish take it, not take it. They think because historically it's a holy place for him, for them. So maybe if you just listen to this story, it's a short story by the way, and you will not say it's a racism because it's checkpoint and they need to check. But in this story specific, That's what I felt in the same time that he stopped me, because I felt the racism from the guard, the security guard. So this is one story that I can share. I have more, but I don't call
time. I understand. So would you say that you have like the same opportunities as Jewish people, for example, in education, just like everyday life?
No, I don't think that that we have the same opportunities. For example, we are, as Arab in Israel, we cannot be prime minister. We can be part of the government, but prime minister we cannot be, because that Israel is a Jewish country, so we cannot be Arab in a prime minister for Jewish country. We can live in work, for example. Not all places, but some workplaces, the Arab cannot be manager. You can be employee, it's okay. You can work there, but you can't grow. You just need to be employed in the base.
So yeah, what about that in education?
Education, it's complicated, because if you look in the bigger way,
yeah.
So you will not see the difference. But if you look closely, you will see it's different between Arab and Jewish.
So what human rights do you think they're breaking? The government or just like people in general?
It depends. If we will talk about the government, then we will talk about Arab in Israel and Arab in West Bank and Arab in Gaza. Palestine has Palestine. So if we will talk about this situation, they break all the human rights, not just one human right. But at least I can say that we are Arab live in Israel. We don't feel safe in the country, because we don't see that the country just secure us.
So you feel unsafe?
Yeah.
If you would just go to the street, would you feel unsafe?
Yes.
I'm so sorry to hear that. Yeah. But do you think it will ever end?
I don't know. Actually, I wish it will end, but the reality don't show that.
But what can we do to help, like you and your community, and can we do like anything, yeah, to help you just in general?
I think everyone can help if this issue resonates and everyone listen and discuss the matter. But there is a blackout on the issue, and all platforms with the social media and television show the rosy life and not the reality.
Yeah.
So we need to talk more about this issue, and we need to show it to the whole world.
The world, yeah. Because media is like not showing.
No, media not showing. Media yeah. just show that everything is okay, mm-hmm. and they don't show the bad things.
Mm-hmm. So maybe we can talk just like for the end, what can even people do to help like end inequality and discrimination and racism? I just think
so you can do little things. From when you hear a little comment, you can say stand up and for that person be no, that's not okay. When you're a group of friends and there's one person that's, you say like something racist, so the one person saying something racist to another person, if you're that person who stands up and says no, that's not okay, it makes a massive difference to the group of people. I've lived through that, and that one person that says no, that's not okay, it makes a massive difference, because then the group, next time that person will say going racist, even if it's a joke, they'll think a bit more, they'll think twice before saying it, and they eventually they'll stop saying it because they know that this
someone will stand up for you. Clay, would you like to add that the education can play a big part, yes. of this, plus the family, because I don't think that anyone will grow with racism. Mm-hmm. It's just something that they put it inside. So it starts in the family and it ends with education.
Yes, I wanted to say the exact same thing. I also think that we should be like educating people from such a young age, because you're not born with racism.
Not born racist.
Yeah, exactly. And just like, parents shape your mind. When I was experiencing racism in kindergarten, the children were like getting this from their parents, you know? So yeah, education is so important, and like just maybe join some organizations that are like anti-racist, that are fighting for rights. Maybe just, you know, speak up about it. Just acknowledge the problem. Yes.
I think. Sorry, Dad. But I think that the movement or the informal education can help a lot with this issue, because sometimes in the school you don't meet the other, but the informal education can just greet you and give you this opportunity to meet the others and to meet the different. And I think it will end.
Clearly.
Also, speaking to people about their experiences, like we've done in the middle, speaking to them and understanding their point of view, what they've lived through, can help you open your mind to what people in the whole world experience. And I think it's really interesting to hear other people's stories. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. As we wrap up this episode, it's clear that racism is a deeply entrenched issue that continues to impact lives worldwide. But it's equally clear that change is possible when we confront it head on, educate ourselves, and actively work towards a more just and inclusive society. I want to thank our guests for your candid and insightful contributions to this conversation. Your voice is vital in raising awareness and inspiring action. To our listeners, I encourage you to continue learning, engaging in conversations, and taking meaningful steps to combat racism in your own lives and communities. Change starts with each one of us, and together we can build a more equitable future. If you found this podcast meaningful, please consider sharing it with others. Your support helps us reach a broader audience and make a greater impact. Thank you for joining us on Racism Unfiltered. Until next time, let's keep the conversation going and strive for a world free from racism. Thank you.